we come around the bend after spreading 2 hours of news and opinion, new more, or also known as new opinion. We're getting an old wooden wagon. Actually, we've been in the wooden wagon. Just hear it as it comes closer to the microphones. There's you're sitting up there, and if Patrick the horse, say hi to Patrick the horse there, Mike Lewis.
Hello, Patrick. Hello, Patrick. Patrick, Patrick. I'm trying to talk, Patrick. That horse had a human-like scream, actually, which really I found a bit distressing. I led to Dr. Moreau.
Oh,
that's where the wagon's headed.
Righty. Heading back to the barn. Let's see. By the way, you write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. Are people still keeping the new thing alive with the word urinate? Have you seen that? Is it still happening?
They've slowed down a little bit, but there's still a couple.
To a trickle.
Oh, good. Oh, good one. Yeah. Good one, that is. That's a good one.
Yeah, thanks.
Give you that one.
Yeah. Okay, can we go to the story?
In Seattle, restaurants have to serve Sarah Huckabee Sanders. It was a law, I guess, and this is one they're enforcing, hopefully. Passed in 2004, it says that it is unlawful to kick someone out of a restaurant because of their political ideology. A city that really prides itself on diversity. They love diversity, except if you diverge from their point of view when it comes to politics. And there are a bunch of people in Seattle that were like, no, if Sarah Huckabee Sanders came in here or anybody from that Nazi Trump administration, I would scream and yell him out of my restaurant. But Seattle has a law that does protect you.
Indeed. And I think that that's actually appropriate. The question gets asked all the time. If you had a restaurant, would you serve Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Mm-hmm.
She's a human being. And if she's not being disruptive in the place, it kind of depends on what they come in and what they do. If someone comes in full, SS regalia, no. I mean, that's obviously meant to provoke.
Uh-huh.
But if somebody comes in and they're acting as a private individual and they're just sitting down to have, a bite to eat and a glass of wine or something, I don't have a problem with that.
Mm.
I mean, it kind of depends on, what sort of atmosphere it creates in the place. But personally, it wouldn't bother me at all.
Remember back October 2017, a Seattle coffee shop owner, Ben Borgman, kicked out a group of anti-abortion activists because they were handing out flyers. They were not handing the flyers out in his restaurant or his cafe. They were doing it, I think they were posting up in Capitol Hill, and then they walked in to get some coffee.
I'm gay.
Okay.
You have to leave.
So are you denying a service?
I am, yeah.
So why aren't we allowed to stay? Because
this is offensive to me. I own the place.
Okay.
There's nothing else you can say.
So,
this is you.
So we're not welcome
I
here.
I do not want these people in this place.
So I don't think they weren't handing the flyers out there.
This was not about Christianity. I'm not anti-Christian. I'm anti-people that print garbage and spread it around the city. If you want to hand out stuff, you put it in an adult's hand. You don't leave it wrapped up like a toy for a child to find. That's what it's all about.
Okay. So he had a problem with the fact that they were putting stuff out there that I think had some pictures that were offensive to some folks.
Yeah, and the way they were putting it out there, things like that. If someone were distributing something in an establishment that I worked in or something, I could see the point. But if someone came, I don't even know how he necessarily knew. I mean, that would be the other question I would have is, did they come in carrying signs? Did they come in carrying the stuff? Were they leaving it on the tables? In that particular case, then you might want to intervene. But if they're just coming in to have a cup of coffee, taking a break from whatever information they've decided to disseminate in Capitol Hill,
right?
As, which is
exercise
kind of,
their First Amendment, I guess.
Absolutely. Well,
right.
Your First Amendment also does stop at the whole littering end of things.
Yeah.
But if they were doing something like that, I don't even know how he knew. But I got to say, I don't have a problem with Seattle having a law protecting people from that.
The other story that made the news was the Fremont gym where the guy was banned. They tried to ban him because he's a white supremacist.
Yes.
Let's fix it is the argument in the Crosscut piece, noting that under this Seattle, the local gym that they mentioned. And I guess when they're asking it to fix it, Crosscut fix it, meaning you should be able to kick the people out if you want.
Yeah, you're treading into really a difficult area because that bites both directions. Uh-huh. And so if by fixing it, you mean people have the right to refuse service to anyone, which how many hundreds and thousands of businesses have that posted?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of depends on whether you decide to escalate it into a particular point of view or a particular belief. and that is why you're then kicking them out. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it is something that is so pervasive that actually needs fixing. I think it's fine the way it is.
It's the idea of the establishment owner has the right to refuse service to anyone. There's a pizza place that I go to down in Pioneer Square, and the guy's got the sign up.
Everyone, that sign's all over the place. Right.
But it's so obviously you can. I mean, if they want to throw you out, they can throw you out.
Right.
And a law to protect that you have to serve the person if you don't want to serve the person.
Yeah. I mean, you should be able to. And there's all kinds of reasons. The funny thing is that people get asked to leave places all the time, and 95% of the time, it has nothing to do with anything that gets news attention. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the person either being disruptive or maybe not being in a condition where they should be inside a restaurant at that particular point.
There was a guy in a restaurant in Texas. Some teenagers were sitting at one table, and the man saw them, and the guy had on a hat that one of the teenagers had on, the Make America Great hat again, and it was just too much for this adult male, and he went over to the kids.
For the president.
That's the sound of the guy throwing soda into the face of the 16-year-old.
You ain't supporting.
And then with that, he reaches forward and removes the kid's hat.
Okay. It's gonna go great in my fireplace.
I'm gonna throw
it.
Right,
have fun with it.
Great in my fireplace. And the guy walks out after throwing the soda onto the kid. Of course, because these kids with their phones today, they're crazy with their phones. They get their phones all the time. They caught quick video of the guy. They got him throwing the stuff. They got him walking out. And then they posted, the mom there in Texas said, hey, can we identify who this, I think she gave him the title of Scumbag of the Year. Wow, he got Scumbag of the Year. 2018, July.
Last year's Scumbag of the Year was disappointed in that announcement because they thought they could be a two-time champ.
But no, apparently this guy is Scumbag of the Year. Please find out who this is. His friend was wearing a patriotic hat, and this happened. That's the thing underneath it. You can watch the Facebook. It's been watched by more than 5 million people. Well, the good news is, the bad news is, they found the guy. They know who he is, and he has since lost his job.
Yep. That's,
which,
I mean,
which and I disagree with.
You disagree that he should have lost his job?
Yeah. What do you think should not have lost his job?
What do you think he should have done?
Don't cost him a job. Well, he's a part-time bartender, and the people that own the restaurant where he works in said, we've watched the video. It's a horrible thing, and he's no longer at the Rumble. The place is called the Rumble. He will no longer be working for us. It goes against everything that this establishment stands for.
I would actually fire somebody for doing something like that. I think that that is actually, you don't just decide that somebody is wearing, you know, as much as I am unlikely to be seen in a MAGA hat or any MAGA gear, mm-hmm. and as rarely as you actually see. I mean, anyone who's wearing it walking around Seattle is doing it for the effect. I get that, too. But the fact is that they're perfectly legal. It's perfectly legal for them to wear it. And to respond by not walking over and saying, hey, I don't like your hat. I don't agree with your politics, whatever. Moving on. Throwing a drink in someone's face is an escalation. It may be a great sort of thing that we think in the movies that happens all the time, but actually that can typically lead to a whole bunch of behavior. And if your staff is doing that, that really creates a massive liability in your establishment. Yeah, that's probably the type of person I would fire immediately.
I always just have problems when people demand the person be fired. That's my thing. I understand. Yeah, the guy, right, he does have a liability that you've seen him assault a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So maybe he would throw drinks in other people's faces. Yeah, or it might be good for business. Could be good for business.
Depending on what sort of business, I suppose.
Come on in. Have a refreshing drink thrown in your face.
Have a refreshing drink. Or or if you happen to, your number comes up, you may get that drink all at once.
This guy will throw a drink right in your face. So far, he is in the lead for Scumbag of the Year. But again, it's still early in the year.
Yeah, and that seems to me like, wow, of the year? I mean, you really should do something a little more significant than that to get Scumbag of the Year.
How about this? A guy goes into
especially at that state.
Okay, yesterday at Starbucks over near West Philadelphia, the University of Pennsylvania, is a Starbucks. The guy went in and he stutters. His name is Sam. He says, the woman says, and your name for the coffee? He says, Sam. And she goes, okay, Sam. And then when they put up his coffee, they wrote S-S-S-S-S Sam. And that was on his
coffee. That's pretty mean-spirited.
Is that Scumbag of the Year for that one?
Oh, I probably Insensitive Jerk of the Year. I mean, okay. There's all kinds of awards to be given out. I mean, you don't need to loop them all into Scumbag.
Good point. Well done. Let's see. When it comes to the water in the news desert, New Jersey is spending $5 million for innovation in the local news. The problem for local news, so this is television local news, the government is going to step in and help out so that they continue to be a vital form of communication there in the great state, the Garden State, by the way, New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, this actually isn't without precedent. I mean, we obviously have the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that's obviously received some, I mean, from help from the FCC and bandwidth and things like that. So these are not things that are completely unusual. Although, as a member of the for-profit media most of my career, I'm not a big fan of government funding for this. I do like the idea that they realize that the one great thing that's rarely talked about when they talk about the decline of American newspapers is how adversely affected local news was. The big platforms, the New York Times, they all had a capacity to re-engineer, develop ways to raise money on the web, all kinds of new podcasts and all kinds of products that are great for dissemination of news and also vehicles you can attach advertising and sponsorship to. For some small local papers, they didn't really have that baseline local economy.
Right.
And that's honestly what affects most people's day-to-day living is what's happening in their town. I love the idea of nonprofits, of the ProPublicas of this world, of the Texas Texas Tribune of the world. You know, here in Seattle, though, we have the West Seattle. We have blogs in a lot of neighborhoods. Seattle's an easier town in that regard. But all of that is money not raised from government. It's raised from either grants or, you know, subscription-based things, donations from your listeners. You know, even in some cases, people have gone to the Gates Foundation, other foundations, the Ford Foundation to get these grants. Having the government start to weigh in on that, it seems to me like it's tough because you're going to have a whole bunch of taxpayers who are going to be very, very unhappy about that. That money does not come, you know, without at least 8 or 9 rail cars of baggage.
Right. You end up getting money from the government. You start to think, well, does the government become the editor of the information because they now have a vested interest in the news?
And even if they don't, they are beholden to taxpayers who are now very unhappy and going to add this on to the list of grievances of misspent government funds. It seems to me like not only financially kind of unwinnable, politically unwinnable as well.
Yeah, you're right. Even the folks that they're working there in local news have said, you know, I don't think we want to take this money.
Bingo, right? I mean, even the folks who are on the pointy end of it who need the money are saying, like, maybe this is the, you know, the money that the loan shark money you don't actually want to accept.
So many local newspapers were making money in the classified sections. That's all gone now, thanks to Craigslist and other ways for people to connect you to broken barbecues. The local papers, as you say, that were sort of the bloodline for any information that was happening, the street, the house down the street that fell down, or the road that needs to be worked on, or the school that's trying to raise funds, or just special interest features on your neighbors, really was something that people looked forward to every single week, and then it became every 2 weeks. It got thinner and thinner. I remember the poor guy, Caleb, that worked for the Issaquah Reporter, sitting there at the city council meetings from 7 o'clock till midnight. God, I felt bad for that guy. But this Issaquah Reporter felt it was necessary for the people of Sammamish to know what was happening in the city council. And this
or at least that reporter's editor did.
This poor sack.
I'm not sure that he actually sat there saying, like, I am really dispensing some vital information here.
No, Caleb did not.
Caleb did not.
He is not here
actually,
anymore.
Yeah,
he
Caleb
is no longer with us.
Way,
he's in, I went to Alaska or something, but I just feel so sorry for him. I'd come in, I go, hey, Caleb, I got a good quote for you. When do you think you're going to say it? I was like,
11:59. And then Caleb actually got his first major life lesson.
No. I'd say, it's like, I think at 8:15, it's on the agenda. I'll try to get it out early. And then I would just throw it out there. I'd look over at him, give him the big thumbs up.
Did you give him the 2 thumbs up? Because that seems more your style.
The double thumbs up?
The double thumbs up.
No, that is, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be prancing around like some sort of show pony.
Yeah, because that certainly wouldn't be you.
I was helping him out. I was a fellow person in the world of news
and
opinion. New more or new pinion.
I
felt, you know, give him something. Great headline. And I'd just say as many crazy, you know, things as I could in order to give him lots to write about.
That was so generous of you.
City Councilman Curley refers to Lake Sammamish as a giant toilet.
But you're also on the other side of it. You're defending Green Lake as not being a giant toilet anymore, although you spent more time talking about the parasites that burrow into your skin than the fact that it's a safe place to swim.
Well, I thought it was more interesting that the things burrow into your skin. Just real fast, they wanted to spend $650,000 on a toilet in front of Lake Sammamish at this place called The Landings. And I said, what is it going to, more than $500,000 for a toilet? I said, when you already have a toilet nearby. And then I asked whoever was in charge of it. I said, what's the distance between the toilet you want to build and the lake? They said, oh, setbacks and F requirements and C, and da, da, da. It's going to be 82 feet back or whatever. I said, you don't need to put anything there. You already have a toilet there. They said, no, we don't, Councilman Curley. I said, yeah, you do. It's called a lake. Everybody pees in the lake. Go ahead and urinate in the lake. How many people here? And there's people who are sitting there. I said, quick show of hands, like 50 citizens. How many people here have had the pleasure of already using the toilet that we have there called the lake? How many people? Just show of hands. And I'm like, me? Am I really? I'm the only one? I'm the only one. And I'm looking over at Caleb like, you like this? How's this? You just give you some good stuff to talk about? But so, I didn't even get a headline. I was trying to get a headline.
And but
yes,
the local paper did not succeed despite your every effort to prop it up through excellent quotes.
The lake is a
ergo,
toilet.
Ergo, we need government funding. Where are you going with this?
The lake is a toilet. No, it's still there. I think the Issaquah Reporter is still going on. They just lost him. I'm doing my part. I wasn't sending him any money, but I was doing my part. The U.S. World Cup ratings is down 42%. Wow. Without the American team in there.
Yeah.
It's down 42 because we don't have an American team.
So when I was looking for the data, it was a little unclear to me, the ratings worldwide or the ratings in the United States.
Yes.
The ratings in the United States, I'm surprised they're only down 42% given we don't have a team in. But the other big thing, of course, was that Italy also isn't in, a rabid soccer country.
Yeah.
You remove those two entities from the World Cup and it becomes a lot less, you know, there's 300, you've got about 500 million people who are not now watching the World Cup.
Mm.
But the weird thing is, it's been a terrific World Cup.
Yeah.
The games have been phenomenal. Some of the games have been as good as we've ever seen in the World Cup. And so, I don't know, if you're not watching it, and if you only watch it for nationalist reasons, then you ought not watch it if you're in the United States. But if you watch it for good soccer, wow, it's still there.
Are the Russians still cheating their way to the top, or that's over?
No, I think that they're pretty committed to that.
Okay. You know? But wouldn't some of their wins, you're like, really?
Well, they got put in a very easy group, and they're hosting it. And you don't have to qualify if you're the host country. You get an automatic bid in. And so they're actually having a surprisingly good run.
Russia says they're looking forward to those kids in Thailand getting out of that cave, the soccer team there, because they're supposed to play them next.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Immediately.
No food. Put down your silver blankets and get out there. Right back. All righty. Let's see. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can text as well at 98973. Do love to hear from you. One of you gets a chance to be letter of the day. Young Jacob, have we have anybody at the top of the list that could possibly be letter of the day?
I've got a front runner right now.
Okay, fine. And are people still writing about that thing that my sister used to try to do on crank phone calls?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. A new study says women are freezing their eggs because men like frozen eggs. No, because men are unstable and there's just not enough good men out there.
Well, the study runs counter to what had been the belief, that women are simply more career-minded, spending longer in the workforce, want to put off having kids, and this is why a lot of women are freezing eggs.
Right.
And it turns out that's actually maybe not as true as we had kind of hoped it was, and it actually has to do with men being increasingly unwilling to commit and develop sort of long-term relationships, a type of person that you'd want to actually have kids with.
Everybody was more comfortable with, well, that makes sense economically.
Yeah.
But when all of a sudden you find out, no, it's going to take them longer to find a good guy. So they take the eggs early and they freeze them so that they might hold on to those eggs and then use them when they do find a good guy. Here's a 2015, this is Vicky Rockland. Talks about to Time Magazine about why her decision to freeze her eggs.
I have a lot of these dreams that I want to live out on my timeline. A lot of those dreams include long spans of international travel. I want to write a novel. At one point, I'd love to be a TED talker. And so I was at my gynecologist's office, and she was so supportive when I was telling her about my dreams. And I was having a lot of anxiety how I was going to fulfill all these dreams before 32, 33, 34. And so we started talking about egg freezing. I kind of brought it up to her as a joke, and she said, you should really think about this, and so she referred me to a doctor.
Oh.
So her reasons are not... Her reasons
no, she
are,
wants to be a TED talker.
Right, so her reasons are the more along the lines of the conventional wisdom, what people had assumed was a case, but they actually did. This is the largest qualitative study on egg freezing. 150 subjects from 4 IVF clinics in the United States and 3 in Israel were interviewed. And what they found was that that is absolutely a rationale for doing it, but it wasn't the predominant rationale. The predominant rationale happened to do a lot with reasons for mostly evolving lack of stable partnerships with men committed to marriage and parenting. And that was the reason most people cited.
Well, I would say that a woman that has the foresight to realize this situation, she probably also has the economic stability to be able to remove the eggs and freeze them. I'm sure there's some cost for that insurance doesn't
I'm
pick
sure
up.
There is some cost. You can't just buy a Yeti cooler and do it on your
right,
own.
Right, 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 right. So this is a select group of women that are moving through society, and they just can't find a guy that might be able to match them either economically or in when it comes to intelligence, or just they don't match.
But there's no studies that show that women are super needy for a guy who matches them economically if they are at a higher income level. That actually isn't the – I mean, I would guess that that's sometimes the assumption from the guy end of things. But it doesn't actually – it doesn't bear out from sociological studies that women are – who if a woman is making, let's just say, $200K a year, that she needs to a guy who is making that. Actually, they're much more comfortable with that than people have given them.
Okay, well, I haven't seen any studies on it other than the fact that it seems to me that if you're going to marry somebody – and this has been held true for hundreds of years – it's just as easy to fall in love with a rich person as a poor person. And the guy, let's say the woman's pulling in $250 and the guy's making $60, would she be less likely to be attracted to the $60 if she meets some guy who's making the equal amount of money as her? Not that she all of a sudden says, well, I've got to find somebody who's doubled my income. It'd be much harder to find. But at least find somebody that's of equal success. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, if you meet someone who, I mean, the assumption is that it's easy to meet anyone that you would fall in love with and have kids. And then you can actually make this comparison point. All right. I really love them both. I'm attracted to both of them. We have that sort of chemical energy. Let's take a look at the money and let me pick between these two. Most people are not actually presented with that choice. Like, hey, I have a rich man or a poor man. Who do I want to marry? Or a rich woman or
rich
a poor
guy. Rich guy.
You know, most people are not presented with those two options. Most people are not.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, most of the guys that I've seen that say that one of the hardest parts of dating, they tell me, is that you're out there. The woman asks a couple of questions. She's trying to zero in on how much money you make a year, because she certainly doesn't want some deadbeat that's not able to pull his weight.
Which is why you tell everyone you're a journalist, and then the assumption is you're not making much at all. It's worked for me for years.
But then no they one find has that ever, to be interesting?
No one has ever said, wow, I wonder if he's a rich journalist. I wonder if he's a rich newspaper reporter, because there are none.
Women encouraged to go on dates and sex strikes as well to protest the threat to Roe v. Wade. This is just getting some attention anyway at yahoo.com, Lifestyles and Women, saying until we definitely get somebody that's going to protect the women's right to choose, women should hold out sexual favors and certainly not date anybody. List on your online dating profiles that if you are not in support of RVW, then you need to not bother dating me.
The reason that I think that this makes such a tremendous amount of sense is one thing that we know is absolutely true, sacrosanct. Among men, is they will not lie to get sex. They just won't do it.
Yes, true.
So this seems almost foolproof. I mean, I know you would never lie to get sex, and certainly there's no man out there who would.
I can't imagine.
Why would we add just another category for men to lie about? Like there isn't enough.
Well, it makes you feel good if you put it on your profile or if you try to filter the guy through it,
right?
Roe v. Wade. Most guys would probably, you're right, would tell you whatever you want to hear in order to eventually be able to date you.
I think we do not need a sociological study to say that. I think we can say that with great confidence.
Got it.
That guys will lie to get sex. So let's just add another thing for them to lie about.
We'll take care of this, Jacob. This is a letter from a listener wanted to know about a particular piece of video that was up on YouTube, and it's been there for a long time. Do they want to know if it's real or not? Is that why they wrote?
They had theories that it might be staged, but they weren't sure.
Okay, so I'll just play it for you real fast. This is from, my gosh, 10 years ago or
something? It was posted to YouTube 2008.
Okay, I was explaining that I have hyperglycemia, and if I lose my temper every once in a while if I don't eat enough, and then Daryl happened to roll the camera when I got mad about a take that we had to keep doing and redoing, and Daryl had a problem with the background, the stuff that was behind me on the wall. He didn't like it.
Can you see this? Yeah, get rid of that.
So I'm moving a plant that's back there behind.
That bird thing up there in the back. There, just stick it up there that way. Okay.
Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
So, what's it like living in a house with more than 150 monkeys? John Stoflet's about to find out.
It's a good story, right? No. What, 150 monkeys in one house?
Now, we're going to have to do it again. You got a big piece of something on your shoulder there. Right?
All right. You know what? Let's just take... Why don't we do this? Let's...
Yeah, well, while you're up, hey, how about that bird? It's just not working.
There's a wooden bird that was also in the background.
For me, you know? I don't know what it is.
Is that better?
Well, yeah. But also the plant, there's like a couple of leaves that are hanging down. What? Well, you don't have to wait. Good. That's nice. Great. Okay.
Is that you breaking stuff?
Is that better?
That was not on.
That was
for Daryl to be like, can you get that little, see the little brown leaf? Can you get rid of that? Can you turn? I'm like, and that was the.
That was a full on tantrum.
Yeah.
Were you hungry? Or do you just use that excuse so you can be a jerk from time to time? So people, not only are you a jerk, then they hand you food.
There was an ore nearby. That's all I'm going to tell you. There was an ore as a decoration. That was also included in there, yeah. You can enjoy it. That was from the Edgewater Hotel.
You tore up the Edgewater Hotel? That almost makes you a rock star, given that that's what usually what happened at the Edgewater for years.
We'll be right back. Tom and Curly right here at Kara Radio. Write to us at MyNorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. We'll put that video up for you so you can see how young I used to look. We'll be right back. All right, here we go. The Doug's Limewood Mazda is giving us a Mazda we give to the mailman. He drives it around for 1 week, delivers the mail, puts a couple of miles on it anyway. He's got the letters for us. He'll be here in just a little bit. But, yeah, the lady in the back with the question. Yes, with the headband. Yes. Question? Yeah, can you get the mic?
Is pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Will her pizza be covered in cocaine today?
Yes.
Is that certain?
Yes.
So we're not going to move it to Friday. It's going to definitely be today.
Yes.
Okay, good. Just checking. Here comes the mailman now. Cocaine Pizza Day is Thursday.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right. That's right. Teeny tiny lady blew off 3 M80s yesterday in honor of 4th of July.
Hello.
She is doing fine.
Doing fine, minus a hand. First letter on...
She has both of her tiny hands.
I don't think she does
anymore. Here we go.
Abolishing ice. First letter from area code 253. Abolish ice. How would I keep my drinks cool in the summer heat? Some people have no empathy.
And 253 says abolish ice should cause no more negative reaction in a conservative's heart than it does the prospect of reorganizing other programs this administration seeks to adjust.
Good point. And on 4th of July from Stu in Burbank. Mm-hmm. Man, did your producer ever drop the ball yesterday?
Oh, boy.
He's in the room. Can we say this?
Yes.
Okay. At the last Nathan's hot dog eating contest, Patrick got the audio of Joey Chestnut letting loose with hot dog farts.
True.
They remembered back to last year.
The high bar last
about
year.
Joey Chestnut's mm-hmm. hot dog farts.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I'll finish this letter, though. Talk about the in-depth reporting. Anyway, I'm pretty sure nothing happened to the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar since she didn't ask anyone to hold her beer for her.
Is that true?
Just stop.
Okay. 206, the proper expression is, hey, y'all, hold on to my beer and watch this.
That's a good point, actually. That's a fair adjustment. On pets and fireworks from area code 253, Oh, my God. I had to stay up late with the dog. She was so freaked out, she would hide in the dark bathroom. Gee whiz.
And gun safe. Ryan in Redmond says, I have a large gun collection and two young boys. Although my firearms are locked up, unless I carry one, I don't think it should be legally required, as there are many different circumstances. Even more importantly, my boys are very familiar with firearms use and safety. Just like sex or driving, education is the key.
I agree. And on testosterone from Christy in King County. Hey, John, what's up with the squeaky voice when you ask the bikers for help with gas? I had to laugh because it's not like you've never dealt with bikers before. You were involved with the children's ride when I was involved. Have a great day.
Yes, true. Been riding for a long time. 206. John, you're in a tizzy over testosterone issue. It reminds me of the time my friend Jordan ate a whole jar of supplements to boost his manhood and ended up urinating for 2 weeks straight and lost 45 pounds. Just be happy to be yourself. Okay.
Now, I don't even know if he really ate the supplements.
He lost 45 pounds in 2 weeks. You can actually do that by holding, you know, two MAs.
But I don't know if he did that, if he actually did it, or they just wanted to slip the word urinate in there.
I don't know. You created this monster. You unleashed it. On hunting from Heidi in Redondo, I really don't think that the woman should have shot that giraffe.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have put together a great act of riding it off a diving board into a dunk tank. That's actually true.
Ray in Ritzville. Yeah, I hear Jeffrey, the Toys R Us dinosaur, went extinct. Oh, it's terrible.
Toys R Us did actually go extinct, yes, so you might be right. Larry in West Seattle, as a longtime hunter, that giraffe hunt was a farce. Thousands of dollars paid for a tracker, expert guide, air-conditioned SUV, protection squad, and 5-star guest house. That old giraffe didn't stand a chance. Might as well have gone to Woodland Park Zoo for that stock. Exactly my point.
And 253, did John just say wildebeest? Does he hail from Washington? Be sure to wash the mic before the show.
On Green Lake from Oliver and Wenatchee. I'd never swim in Green Lake with all those people doing what, John?
Urinating in it. Tiki apartments. Most of the residents of Tiki Apartments of Tacoma were month-to-month residents. They had multiple years to sign the lease. The people who had the lease signed didn't have the same issues to deal with. It's part of life. Everybody has problems, but you all know how to be grown-ups, and we know how to be adults. If you're going to make a decision in your life and put yourself in a place where you are month-to-month, well, when things happen, you have no one to blame but yourself.
And about the kid that memorized all of the countries from Area Code 206.
Yeah.
All 7- and 8-year-olds in Vashon Elementary had to memorize the states in alphabetical order for a yearly, quote, third grade program. The director did it by putting it to music. When asked to do the states backwards, most of the students couldn't do it with ease. Memorization isn't just taught anymore. Children are eager to take the challenge and learn. Put music to it and they can learn a long list of words at like many verses of a song. Another teacher had rap songs regarding math and algebra, and the tape aided the kids from falling behind in math principles.
Yeah, perfect. Automation 425, I can't wait until AI replaces radio talk show host. Then we'll take them super seriously. Okay.
Yeah, fair point.
Good luck with that.
It may have, and actually what they don't know is it may already have.
It may already have.
Trade jobs. Area code 425. Hey, guys, thank you for championing the trades. I'm a high-voltage journeyman lineman. I work on transmission and distribution lines, feeding the cities. I make deep into the six figures with overtime and only have a high school degree and completed an apprenticeship program. Just what we were talking about.
He is a lineman for the county. 206, I can attest to the trades can pay well. I make $25 an hour doing HVAC without any licenses or certification, just knowledge passed from one worker to the next. Installation is great.
For the letter of the day.
From the ghost of John Denver. Hey, Curly, did you go watch the 4th of July fireworks? If so, I hope you didn't close your eyes last night. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to go to all the trouble to watch those fireworks and then close your eyes so that you can't see them. Sheesh.
Out of time. Bye-bye.